It's at Tom of the Week. For the Three Juventinas podcast show, it is show number 63, and I'm coming, we're actually coming from this week, not from HQ 48 Hours, but from my man cave, Ricardo Juventino's man cave. This show will be a call-in show tonight as Mark Fiorenti is away for work in Perth, Western Australia, and Juventino Anthony will be calling in, or actually I'll be calling him, to discuss the big game, or controversy more like it, of the Juventus versus Verona game. And us Juventinos know what we're talking about regards to this game, because it was absolutely disgraceful refereeing, and the VAR on this was absolute joke, and I really feel for Moise Kean. I think Moise Kean was basically robbed, like many Juventinos around the world think as well. But let's get straight into it. I'll call up Juventino Anthony, and we can start talking about the game.
Good evening.
Pronto, chi parla? Is this Juventino Anthony on the line? How you going, champ?
Yeah. Different type of podcast. How are we?
Yeah, good, good. I was just letting the listeners know that Mark's away for work in Perth, Western Australia this week, so we decided to do a call-in, and, yeah, we just basically one down with Juventinos, but there's always, you know, a lot to talk about, especially the controversy of the VAR. Moise Kean's actually best game for a long time with Juventus. And
Yeah,
but apart from that, mate, how's things?
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
Can't complain at the moment, yeah. We're just, I think we're all just having a bit of a rest in a way, because we're going to have a couple of big weeks.
Yeah,
here on the podcast.
Yeah, we're gonna to our listeners, we're having our 10th anniversary celebration of the Juventus fan club, Melbourne, Gigi Buffon. It's a 10-year anniversary, and the boys, we're getting together for a weekend away, and we'll definitely be doing a podcast and some live Facebook from the party. So
yeah, absolutely,
it'll be rocking on, and hopefully we get some people from overseas and watching and, you know, commenting and giving us a bit of a salute. But apart from that,
of course, yeah, that's it. Not everyone can go, but we're gonna give people a bit of
select few ants. It's like Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion, mate.
Yeah, we're gonna do like an MTV Cribs.
Oh, check out, mate, our pad. How good was that? How good was that? The MTV Cribs, man. That was of the best parties and shows, mate. I remember, you know, being younger. But Anth, what can we say about this game and reviewing the Juventus versus Verona game, match day 10, home game? Mate, where do we start? Because basically it was a 1-0 win, and it was in the 96th minute of the game. Cambiasso was in the right spot at the right time to finish it. Milik with the header. Yep. Down, you know, a bit of a ricochet here and there, and bang, back in the onion bag, as they say. But mate, where do we start? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I think the team definitely listened to Mark's demands on the last podcast, saying that it is Verona and he expects a win, he demands a win, and I thought as a whole, I thought we played really good.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought there wasn't much you can say about this game that we did wrong. I think the scoreline definitely doesn't show what the game should have been, and that's not our fault. You know, we can say what we want about, oh, we could have kicked a couple goals. Like, the week before this game, we played the Milan game, and there were opportunities that we should have taken to really stretch that 1-0 result out.
Yeah.
In this game against Verona, I think that there was we were a lot better when it came to finishing, and I think we played really well as a team. But we'll unwrap the events that happened during this game, which was a little bit unfortunate.
We'll get into it straight away. I mean, just looking at the formation, so we set up as a 3-5-2, Gati, Bremer, Rugani, Weah, Texas Ribs, McKinney, Locatelli, the Gelding, Rabiot, Kostic, and Dusan and Kane. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't too happy with Kane starting over Chiesa because I was at the understanding that Chiesa was recovered and he was okay to start. But look, Max put faith in Kane again. And be honest with you, where's this been? We've been waiting for this for such a long time.
This was the Kane that made us fall in love with him when he started at Juventus. I thought, you know, and more, I think. I remember when he first came to Juventus and we were like, oh, you know, yeah, he's really good. As he gets more experience, he's going to be even better when it comes to having more strength. I think that's what he needed when he started with us.
Yeah, the frame was a bit light at the time.
And I think in this game, we saw what we always thought was going to happen with Keane. Unfortunately, I'm not saying that this is going to happen week in, week out. So we can't all go, oh, wow, like, awesome. We've got it. We've got the Keane we've wanted. You know, he's obviously got to do it more. He's had a great record against Kiev of Verona, really. Like, he has had a great scoring record. We need to remember, too, this is a team that is in the lower part of the ladder as well. But in saying that, his first disallowed goal was amazing. Like, I don't think any team would have stopped that.
The lead-up was amazing. And the full lead-up to it and the way he manoeuvred and...
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was world-class stuff that is... That's world-class stuff, yeah.
Absolutely. Another thing, too, you know, let's go back to the Milan game. He played very well in the Milan game and did similar things. You know, he caused that red card to happen due to he's the thing that we've lacked. You know, we always have been talking about Keane running around like, you know, running around like bubbles and stuff like that. We always talk about this, chasing bubbles. But if we look in the Milan game, I think this was the start of, we were even saying, oh, geez, Moise Keane played well. And then he went up another notch with this Verona game, and so that's a good sign too. You know, that's hopefully the sign of not being a one-off thing and something that he wants to do. Another thing too is the issue that we've had with Keane for a long time is the confidence, right? Where he might get off to a bad start, and then the game just keeps getting worse for him. I feel in this Verona game,
he got better.
Like there was the part when he did get the yellow card when he got angry, and that's where he's got to be careful. But I feel that he used his aggression to his advantage in this game, even though nothing was was going his way. He continued to play really well. Was really.
Is this the 3% body fat?
This is
last season that we've been waiting for to come off to play better.
Also, something I'd like to say too, while we're on it, talking about confidence, if you have a look at the second disallowed goal from Keane, if you have a look at the footage when they go to VAR and then the ref disallows it again, Vlahovic laughs. But he also goes, come on, let's keep going.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I feel that there are signs in the last couple of weeks, even just in goal celebrations. We look at Locatelli's goal and we look at the celebrations in the goals against the Verona game. There's looking in from the outside.
Yeah.
There looks like there's more of a team.
Yeah, it does. It does, Anth.
I'm starting to see that they're fighting. They're fighting a little bit more than they were, and you can kind of slightly see it in a bit of their play too. I think there's a little bit more triangle play. If it continues like this, I think that there's going to be more positive playing than the negative playing.
The only thing I don't like, and I don't like seeing it the last couple of games, if I can be a little bit picky, is I still think we sit too far back as we go forward.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's still going to be issues.
Yeah, and then as we come in through the middle part of the ground, I still think we're lacking that one in the middle that goes direct. It's always to the wings. He needs to mix it up. He needs to have that other avenue where we do go direct. But this diamond formation, like, if anything, I don't think it's changed so much from last year. I think we're just a little bit more quicker with the players we've got. But it looks good when we are quicker. But when it's not, it looks like Juventus back to the old ways, if that makes sense.
Look, I agree with that. There's also the only plus thing that I will add is I feel that the big change for me has come on the right.
With Weah?
I'm going to give a lot of credit to Weah and McKennie.
Yeah, McKennie played. Because 100%.
The way that they're linking up, right, has been constant since they've been playing together, right?
Yeah, the American connection.
Also, the switching from one side to another has been a lot better.
Yeah.
I think that the team, you know, look, it's taken quite a while, but there are signs of the team playing better together, understanding where certain balls are going. Like I said, the switching, some of the switching's been really good. Locatelli, as deep as he is, and we don't like it, we are starting to see some real good quality balls coming in with Locatelli. And it's kind of, there are times where he's been hit and miss, but I feel that the last couple of games, he's gone a little bit more direct.
Yeah.
You know, but he's still really far back. He's really deep. And he was still playing in a centre back position like he was with Milan. And it's been happening a fair bit where he'll be the last man in line. And look, that's okay sometimes, but it just seems like, you know, if you were watching Juventus play for the first time and you saw that happen, you'd be like, he is a defender.
Yeah, and you're right.
There are the things that aren't going well, but there are things in the game where it is getting better.
Did you notice how far up Rugani and Gatti were going forward?
Absolutely.
Like, I was thinking to myself, well, if that's the case, how good would it be if Locatelli had a couple chances to go forward? Because I believe he can put a lot of pressure, you know, on the keeper, have a crack from distance. He's capable of doing that.
He is capable of doing it. Yeah. And also, later on in the game, we see a brilliant ball by him in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
I think it might have got headed by Milik, and then it went to Yildiz, and we nearly scored.
Yeah, I know.
A play that we don't do enough, which we should do, and it nearly came off to be a spectacular goal. That's where you want Locatelli playing all the time. Yeah. When he's in that bit where he's in his midfield position, that's where you want to see him dishing out balls, whether it be on the floor or in the air. So, look, these are the type of things that, I hope that it happens more.
Yeah.
But, you know,
it all depends, doesn't it, with the way he matches and stuff.
I almost feel as well, like, you know, not going too negative, but I almost feel that us not getting those disallowed goals showed us playing better throughout the game.
It did. It was a positive to see. Yeah. I agree with you because we could have heads could have gone down. Yeah. 100%. I agree with you.
I think it's Allegri saying, hey, park the bus. Right,
yeah.
But no, we had to win this game, and we kind of had this game on our own terms for most of the game.
Yeah.
So that's why I saw that there was better football throughout the game, and also that's what, you know, caused us to get the late minute winner because we were
pretty determined.
We kind of dominated that game, but for me, that was probably the most dominant game of the year.
Yeah, shot wise and stuff, statistics, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like we had 30 shots on goal and I think it was 6 on target. Yeah. Like, for me, that was definitely the most, I think we were in control.
Possession wise in that,
yeah. In every regard. And even just, you know, yeah, there's some games where teams don't have as many shots, maybe as Verona did. But again, I'd still feel it was just, it was like super controlled.
And just to let our listeners know, off the wires now, they're saying that Weah is injured. So they're saying that he might miss this week's game, which is a bit not good, I'll be honest with you. Because he's good when he's going and he makes us look quicker, sharper.
That is a bummer. But see, this is where in one thing is in this position that he's playing, we do have players that can play in his position. Yeah. You've got McKenny, you've got Illing Jr. who's barely played. You got Kostic on another side. You got Cambiasso. Like, it's not a position where, for me, we have plenty of players to play the position, right? I that's the last position. It doesn't matter on what side. At the end of the day, you know, yes, okay, we want certain players to play and whatever. But you know what? A left footer like Illing Jr. can still go all Kostic.
We're scratching our heads, aren't we? We all the boys at the club. We always say, where's Illing? Why is Illing not playing? I mean, you know, they're saying January, sell him off again. I mean, look, I just find it hard to believe a player that's he can cause impact when he comes on. His pace.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's agile, cause havoc. We need players like that at Juventus.
I think if Ware is injured, like, I'm not saying guaranteed Illing Jr. will play, but there's a
good should get chance some minutes.
That you'll at least get minutes, but, yeah, again, this is another thing. I think the lucky thing with Illing Jr. is that I think he can just play. He can play well regardless of time. Like, he hasn't had many minutes, but he's just, I think he's been an impact player ever since he started. So I think if there's any player that you're not going to play and then you've got to rely on, it's kind of him.
Yeah,
but still, we want to see him play more.
It's like Yildiz, you know. We want him to see. We want to see Yildiz play a bit more too, because he's got so much potential on the part. Burn. So
the thing is with the Illing Jr. thing, that's quite odd as well. Is the fact is, if we're going to sell him, why isn't he playing? Like that. Usually, players get played, don't they? To bump up a value. So hope in a way that we just that's just rumors. Yeah. I hope that he will play and. Maybe, you know, he's there's some other reason for him not playing much right now.
And it's like my boy at Frosinone, Mr. Soler, he's killing it. Like, I'm so happy for him. I'll be honest with you. From day one, I mean, watching him in the next-gen team, I always thought, you know, he's got a lot of potential. Last season, here and there, didn't really get much time. Was thrown in the deep end with a couple of big games. I don't think it was fair, but look, he's killing it now. I just hope he continues that, because he's a player that would fit well in the future going forward for Juventus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they don't grow on trees. That players like a Dybala with his own type of a style. They don't grow on trees. So, you know, that would be great to see if he comes back. But, keep kicking ass, mate. So,
I highly doubt that he's not going to come back. I think I really don't think.
It's the contract, Dan. It's the 1 year, basically, it's the last year of his contract. And then what are they going to do? They're going to extend it 1 year, sell him off, or give him those couple of years and give him better wages and, you know, give him a chance. But look, you don't know what they're thinking.
He's not doing anything wrong at the moment.
No, he's not. He's doing really well. So let's talk about the VAR situation. I thought the FIGC decided that they would. It's more the body in line with the offside rule.
Yeah,
but we're talking about millimeters here. It's ridiculous. Yeah. That first goal should have been. That should have stood.
Yeah, that one to me is like, look, we understand rules are rules, but when it comes to something like that, like
we're talking millimeters,
kind of reminds me of tennis.
Yeah,
with tennis,
precise
and stuff like that. Look, like I said, you know what? It's, as bad as, like, I didn't like the decision, right? To be quite honest, I don't know, for me, if it's a rule, it's a rule. We can't do anything about it. But one thing I can say is I think it's a stupid type of rule. I think that the VAR being an offside decision should be, you know, that they got to clear it up a little bit better.
Yeah, but that was ridiculous. Come on. I mean, look, we've seen worst. I think the quality of reffing in Serie A in the last few seasons has gone downhill big time. What they call and what they don't call is ridiculous.
Yeah, look, the one thing I will say with the rule is if we go back to your goal line technology, the whole ball needs to be over the line, for it to be a goal.
Yep.
Now, if there's a little part of it that is hitting the line, it's no goal. I think that's a fantastic rule. I feel that this foot one is very similar, right?
Mm.
If they've got it on the technology, whatever, that's fine. I get that. I totally understand it. To me, I'm like, as ridiculous as a heel is, if that's the rule, it's the rule. It's clearly the rule. What I'm trying to say is I think that for the offside trap, right, I think there's one thing for it to be on the goal line because the goal line thing doesn't happen much. The offside rule, though, I think it shouldn't be in it. There should be a much better rule where, like we're talking about, we talked about at the club, there has to be something where it's like, you know, a whole body part or, you know, not even an arm. You know, like an arm is ridiculous. I think it should be like a leg.
Yeah.
I think a leg should be it. So, for example, if you've got your legs and you're running towards the goal, your head or your arm can easily be behind the defender, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to stop that, you're really stopping the motion of a soccer player playing. But the feet part and the legs make sense because if the feet and the legs are in behind the player, then yeah, okay, whatever, that's it. So they need to make it a rule. For me, I would say like one leg. To me, it's one leg. Just make everything easy. A leg or a foot that is behind a defender, that's it. Bang. It's offside.
Yeah, and you also know, if it's not, impeding not a, the not defender. Not if, yeah, if it's impeding you know? The defender, if it's causing the defender not to be able to do his job, like in defending, yeah, 100% call it straight away. But when you're talking about like we saw, I mean, you show 10 out of 10 people, I reckon at least 8 of them will say, or 9, no, what are you talking about? There's nothing there.
Yeah, the heel of a boot is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous,
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit more than that, like, you know, a whole foot. You know, like, when we're talking a whole foot, it's like, you know, your actual, the boot of the foot, not bloody just a part of the foot. That's where they got to, they really need to fix that.
It needs to be reviewed. 100%.
And implement it like the goal, like I said, like the goal line thing. Like your whole foot, not just a bit of the foot. Like your whole foot has to be over and then bang. So it's kind of like the opposite. You know, the whole foot needs to be a goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the offside, oh, well, it's the same. There has to be the whole foot and a pass, a defender.
And
anyway, it's a bit of a tricky one, but like I said, if it starts causing the play of soccer to not be how it should be, that's the biggest.
I just think the calling of a corner of the chicken as well could be done better.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like if you're going to call totally it, you call it. If you don't, just leave it. Don't get the players.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
The calling part, you know,
has to be done better than that.
I think the whole checking of things is quite ridiculous. There's other sports that have technology that they basically check everything, and I really don't. I don't like the fact that some things get checked and some things don't.
Yeah.
If you're going to have technology, right? If someone is like, no, there should be no technology, yeah, totally, whatever. That's your opinion. That's fine. Doesn't matter whether it is or not. There's always going to be issues. But if you're going to do, you're going to implement something, you have to do it like the whole way. Okay.
Yeah,
so as annoying as it is with stoppages, if you're going to do VAR, you need to check anything that is slightly suspicious. Now, they kind of do it with football. And as annoying as it is in Aussie rules football, it's gotten to a point where everything gets checked that much that the umpires actually rely on it. I feel that like soccer umpires are holding off on that. Soccer umpires are still trying to make their own decisions and they're picking and choosing. The problem is that can affect how a game is run, right? If we lose because VAR disallows goals that were legitimately not meant to be goals, I'm happy with that. But the minute things like the Milan game, where there's a handball and it doesn't even get
checked. That's what I'm
saying. Okay. If you're going to have VAR, you need someone in the VAR room watching the whole bloody game. Okay? Watching the whole game from all of their camera angles to then go, hey, referee, you've missed this point. Someone just handballed it and we're going to have to double check this. Because that's what the world has become now. It's technology. If you're going to have technology, you basically need to shield as much human error as possible.
And just in saying that, last week's game, clear handball. We all saw it. But, you know, they didn't call it. And then, like, we'll move to the second disallowed goal, which, honestly, the lead up to it, and then once he scored a goal and seen the player roll over dead like he's performing, you know, for an Academy Award, I mean, it just made things even more worse. So, look, hand, I can give and take that, but it still didn't impede. It wasn't like, how you say, it wasn't impeding the whole process of that goal, I don't feel. He lost his, like, Moise Kean did everything right not to get that goal. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
The defender got it. He was outplayed, outsmarted. And then once that all lead up work got in and he ran in and basically finished it off, to see the guy rolling on the ground was absolute disgrace.
Yeah. Look, I slightly agree with some of it. But for me, look, at the end of the day, regardless of what the contact was like and how much of an Academy award the guy had. The thing is, when you look at the replay, he does get it, it's still a foul. Like, I feel
he
that
didn't, he the got thing fouled. Is, his hand didn't though, do no like.
I think Moise Kean would have still beaten him regardless of the foul. But the thing is, the foul was done, and you know what? And again, this is where we talk about a lot more about VAR as well. The thing is, there were occasions where Rabiot, I remember, has been injured, like he's been fouled, right? And a lot worse than that guy, okay? And he gets fouled, and then we're like, where's the foul? And then the other team scores, and they don't talk about it, right? I think if you're fouled, whether you're in the play or not, right, then, yeah, it should go back. And that's what pisses me off, the fact that we've had multiple, and I'm sure other teams have too, we've had multiple cases where we've been fouled during play, whether it's in the play or not. At the end of the day, sometimes it feels like we're at disadvantage of it. Again, there might be other teams that are as well. But it's like, where's all that happening, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Our players are knocked down. We're getting injured. Yeah, we might not be rolling over, but we're getting injured and we're complaining about it and they're still not getting checked. So that's what really annoys me. I think the inconsistency of VAR is the biggest problem, not just the mistakes that it's making.
And I feel it's actually affecting – it affects Juventus as a club since the last, I reckon, 24 months. And we're talking off the park and now on the park.
Yeah.
When everything goes against you, it goes against you. But some things are becoming so suspect, you can question it. You wonder if they're on the take, the refs.
Yeah.
You know, like look, we're all one eye wear the rose-coloured glasses, but when these, it's common occurrence, and you're looking at a game, you go, what is going on? Like, I start to question, fans start to question. Yeah. This is the frustrating factor. You know, that this is a showcase of Serie A to the world, and if you're watching it for the first time and that happens, you think, what's going on here? You know, like, it's a bit of a bastard case. So you got to call it for what it is and let the ref be the one to call it. Sometimes you just got to let things go, but there's some things that are blatantly you can see it that needs to be called, that isn't being called.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Anyway, look, overall, the statistics-wise, shot-wise, possession-wise, we did dominate the game. Just felt that the goal wasn't going to come because of obviously the disallowed goals, but the way it ended at the end, that was Juventus. That was Grinta.
Yeah, it was. It was. We didn't stop. There's sometimes you try and the ball just doesn't go in the net, but sometimes you get that late goal, and that was,
The way it finished, it was, how good it was, and to know that, like, they didn't give up.
Yeah.
Because if that was Juventus last year, they probably would have given up in the cassette a couple of easies. But this game showed, you could take a lot of the heart factor out of this, and for me, you know, to for the win the way we won, that's the Grinta of Juventus, and that's what we need more of. We need to show that we don't give up, and that's the motto, isn't it? Fino alla fine. Yep. You know, like,
absolutely.
That's what it is. So, anyway, we'll get into the votes of the Alessandro Del Piero Award. Who would you say was your best player,
BOG? For me, it was clearly Moise Keane. That for me, this is the type of game where pretty much everyone played really well, bar one person. But pretty much everyone played really well. A lot of players would have, for me, could have won this award, but for me, Moise Keane, like, stood out. It was great to see that he just kept going on and on. And a lot of people are saying, and it's the feelings are pretty obvious, that you feel sorry for him because of how good he played and still didn't get a goal. But like I say all the time, if you attack, and you take up time in a game, that's sometimes just as good as a win. Because you stop the other team. And, you know, instead of him, you know, in the past, there's been a lot of times where Moise Keane just either can't hold the ball or he can't get it. And then the other team gets into momentum. Mm. We never let them do that as a team.
Yeah.
But for me, Moise Keane was one of those players where he just, every time he got the ball, seemed like something was going to happen. And that's great. And that's... I really hope he keeps doing it because, you know...
We do need a player like that.
Our forward line will be a force to be reckoned with if we have someone like Keane playing very well week in, week out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to think that there could be Soler coming back in the future, you know, and we can keep Chiesa and so on.
Yeah, it would be formidable.
It can be really good. Yeah, it could be really good. And we've said it a lot. Moise Keane gets into great spots.
Yeah, just he doesn't finish
that
enough.
That type of striker. Yeah, that's it. That's what he's got to do a little bit more of. So, yeah, for me, Moise Keane was a clear winner.
All right. My pick, got a little bit of intro music for my pick. Let's see if it comes through. Let's have a listen. Yeah. Oh, is this the robot man? It's Moise Keane.
I was hoping it wasn't another player.
So, look,
because we would have robbed him of an award. He got robbed of goals. Now he's going to get robbed of the ADP.
So, you know, look, I'm one to give it to him all the time, but it's Mr. Robot Man for me, mate. It's Moisey Keane gets my BOG. And yeah, as you said, Ant, he did nothing wrong. He was basically awesome from start to finish. And to come off, and, you know, he was pretty pissed to come off. But, yeah, just very unlucky. And, like, I can't recall a player that had those, you know, so many opportunities to score in a game and get robbed like that. I felt at least one, and I think a lot of Juventus fans around the world would have thought the same thing. But full credit. Yeah, we've been giving it to him on this podcast show for a number of episodes of the podcast. But, nah, hands down, he gets the BOG for me. And just keep on going, mate. If you can do this more often, it'll be perfect.
Look, we're not going to expect, you know, the first goal. We're not going to expect that every game. But we know there's been a lot of times in the past where Moise Keane has been, he's been trying and giving his all, and we get that and we understand. But the thing is, there's you can kind of see there's a little bit more of a difference. It just seems like he's out to prove something, and he's still pretty young too, so there's no, you know, he's not that old. Hopefully it can just continue.
It would be good for Italian football as well, mate. If he plays like that and he plays for the national team, that's, and the way we've got Ross Padori and a couple of other, you know, little forwards or that can play well, that'd be awesome for us. But
that's
consistency
it.
Next. That's what I think.
Realistically, when you think it, you know, think about it, he is the type of striker I think Italy needs. If he can play like this all the time, that's what it comes down to. So, you know, obviously, if he's showing it at Juventus, that's where he's going to get the selection, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to be showing it in the Serie A to get that spot, like Raspadori is right now.
Mate, he scored a ripper this morning from free kick. Oh, it was awesome.
Brilliant free kick, And he's you know, not just this morning, but he's been playing quite well at Napoli. And, you know, whereas before, you know, he was just, you know, he was always kind of, like, he'd be playing and stuff, but, he was younger and he wasn't always the first pick. Yeah.
So, the Amari Award, the votes, who was your worst?
Yeah, like sometimes
or disappointment?
For me, sometimes there's the, you know, it's really hard because everyone played really well and we got to pick the worst out of all those guys. This could have been that type of, like, this could have happened with this match. But for me, Meretti was... just doesn't seem like, still doesn't seem like he's ready. And he did a couple of good things. He did a couple of good things. And he tried and stuff like that, but I think he really stood out a lot in this game. And
is it because he looks like, I say to the boys all the time, no confidence since Max has played him as a false nine in a number of games. He doesn't know if he's a false nine or a nine, you know what I mean, in that role where he's more of a midfield player in the lead-up to going forward. That's more of his spot.
It's a strange one because I think that he could be a good goal scorer.
He gets in the spots, mate. That's the thing.
He does. I think he's got a good shot. I think on the ball, sometimes he can be really good. I think where he kind of lacks is like more on the midfield side. There's more of the knowing what to do part that he's not great at. So, I just feel like he's kind of in no man's land, and I don't know if it's his positioning, because the reason why, you know, like we always talk about, he's in his wrong position and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes you're not going to get the full potential of a player. And I think that's happening to him. But also, he's getting a fair bit of the ball, and he's getting, you know,
yeah, he gets in those positions to score. He just doesn't know how to finish.
Yeah, yeah. That's so for me, yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of tough because he's standing out when we're playing a bit better.
Yeah.
So that's not a good look.
Yeah.
And it's kind of going to be it's pretty frustrating when one player isn't playing well and the rest of the team is. And you think, oh, yeah, that's all right. You can kind of be okay with that because the rest of the team will fill it up. But at the same time, it's like we, you know, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's like, yeah, you're like, oh, the whole team, it's like you're going to do something, but one guy keeps stuffing up.
And also, like,
sometimes I feel that that's worse.
He should have been loaned out. I reckon for his progression at Juventus, a 1 year loan would not hurt.
Yeah,
because Fagioli has done it, and they've done it to other players. I just think just to get his confidence, regular playing all the time, then come back, then you will know. Yeah, you know what? I've had that taste. Consistent football, playing, you know, week in, week out. And then you're coming back to Juventus, and when you get the opportunity, you already, like, you know what you're doing. It seems like he's lost his confidence in a lot of ways, but look, he's still young, and hopefully he can turn it on. And so he's your pick, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to go for him as well, so he was my pick as well. So, but look, no, not kicking the boots into him. He's one of those, you know, young next gen players that, you know, that we've got abundance of at the moment that are come from the system, and he's still got time on his hands.
Yeah.
So, in saying that, we'll get on to our next segment. And it's a time of the week again for Anthony's advice of the week.
We've been talking about it a lot in this one. And I'm going to point it out to VAR. This one goes directly to VAR. I'll keep it pretty short and sweet because we've talked about it a lot.
Go for it.
And you know what? Like, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to say in this advice we've already said, so I'm not going to double up on it too much.
Go for it, mate.
But, yeah, for me, in a nutshell, with VAR, it just needs to be more consistent. So my advice is going out to the people who the FIGC and the people who control VAR, it feels like if you're going to do something, you got to do it properly, and you're not doing it properly. It's kind of like, it feels like we're in medieval times the way they do it. It's like, oh yeah, we'll do a couple, we'll do it a little bit, but no, we won't do it all the time. No, it doesn't work like that. It's got to be done across the board. Like, if you're going to implement technology, it's going to end up, it's no matter how you look at it, whether you're not doing it properly or you are, it's going to take over the game. But if it's going to take over the game and do something that we never had before and change the way things are, then so be it. But don't half-ass it, because that's what they're doing at the moment. They're half-assing it. They're not checking everything. And the problem is, because they're not checking everything, certain teams are benefiting from VAR and certain teams aren't.
Hallelujah, Ant. You just said it.
And this is not being bitter towards, teams like Inter or whatever, because we all feel that teams like Inter Milan in particular are getting
favored.
The good end of the
100%,
stick.
100%, mate.
But what I'm saying is, it's not just Juventus. It's then the teams that play against Inter Milan that cop it. And it's just not, it's not fair.
Like, no, it's not.
You're starting to, you know, you're going to make a, you know, we're in a world right now where players are going for the dollar. So the Serie A is one of the leagues that will absolutely get crucified because it's a hard league to play in. We all know that. Strikers will tell you that Italy is one of the hardest leagues to play. Cristiano Ronaldo was saying that, right? So why would someone want to come to a league, right, that is difficult to play in and it's getting ruined by VAR?
Yeah. Like, no, I agree.
It's just going to make players go, oh, wow, I'm just going to go to bloody Saudi Arabia. Or, oh, that's okay, I'll just go to the English Premier League. You know, like, they're going to go where the buck is.
100%.
You know, so for me, I think that our league is destroying our own league, not other leagues.
Yeah.
It's not just because players don't want to come. It's between VAR and then there's obviously scandals.
Just don't,
for me, VAR is a scandal in itself, the way it's running at the moment.
And
so that's my advice.
So that's your voice? And I'll finish with this. Don't spit in the plate that feeds you, mate. That goes to the FIGC, because basically Juventus makes a lot of money for them.
And I guess, you know, look, we're not saying that we want to be favoured because we make the Serie A money.
Yeah.
We just want the competition to be a proper, fair competition so that everyone can, that we can, you know, we watch this game every week.
Yeah.
You know, our national team in Italy is dictated by the league. Because if our players aren't playing right, they don't get selected.
Yeah.
So it snowballs into everything that we follow, you know. Not all Serie A fans follow the Italian national team, but we do. And so do millions of other people. So, you know, we just got to make it a better system, you know. Like, there's always going to be issues with everything and decisions and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, with VAR, It should be as crystal clear that it can possibly be. It should be, but at the moment it's not, and it hasn't been for a while.
Yeah, I agree. You said it perfect, mate. Yeah. Just on to next week or next Serie A match day 11. We're away to Fiorentina on the Monday, the 6th of November, Eastern Standard Time at 6:45 a.m. Australian time.
Yeah. Or AEST time.
Yeah, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, and the times changed too, Anthony. It's not 5:45, 6:45. So we've gone.
Yeah, there's a lot of 6:45 games coming up.
Yeah.
That, you know, could change, but at the moment, yeah, they're all 6:45.
We get an extra hour of sleep, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Extra hour of sleep.
So in this game, we're playing a rival. Goes back a while ago, you know, with Fiorentina, especially remember the days of Roberto Baggio leaving Fiorentina for Juventus and all the crap that went down with that. And also, you don't wear a Juventus jersey or anything Juventus when you're in Florence because basically you get mugged and all your car will get smashed. But I expect a win. Keep going. Try and get the 3 points. It's going to be pretty important this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just got to keep it going and keep playing well. Fiorentina's come off.
They're not too
bad.
They
came off a shock loss. Yeah. They came off a shock loss last week against Empoli.
Yeah.
They still have a game to play this week against Lazio. So
yeah, well, that's a big game for them. They could finish in the top four.
Game.
Yeah, it's top four.
Yeah, it is a huge game for them. So for us, you know, we're possibly going to be coming up against a team that might have a couple of losses and are desperate for a win, or we could see the Fiorentina that bounces back, gets a good result against Lazio and continues against us. So yeah, pretty dangerous game.
Yeah, I agree.
Being away is always difficult. Playing away at Florence. So
yeah, definitely.
Kind of like an Atalanta. They always
bit of a bogey play
really well there. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I'll just... hopefully we get the chocolates, mate. That's to be honest with you. I'll be disappointed if we don't. But knowing how Juventus plays, it's a toss of a coin and what team does turn up. And hopefully that he doesn't mess around too much with the formation. And yeah, but... You know, the news about Weah's not good, but, you know, can be replaced in the team with other players we've got there. So,
yeah, of course.
Next segment we'll get into is obviously don't know this segment, but tour is coming to Melbourne very, very soon. I think next week. The crew, a bit of Def Leppard.
Yeah, and we'll be doing a podcast right before it.
Yeah.
Well, we're doing two before that, but yeah, there'll be one where we'll be getting ready for the gig.
Yep. So it's that time of the week. Ricardo's rant. Oh, I love the intro. bit nasty and dirty, isn't it? Love it. Bit of the old rock and roll. Go if you want to watch a decent movie, go and watch Ford Fairlane's Rock and Roll Detective. Yeah. Go watch it, mate. It's a pisser of a movie. First credits there, you'll see Vince Neil coming down on a Firefox, whatever they are. not too fat. bit leaner. So my rant this week, I've got two technical ones. One, first one's a VAR, as we've spoken a lot in this podcast.
Yeah.
Need to get the sledgehammer and smash the shit out of that bloody machine technology. I don't like it. I think the refs should make the decision. But look, you know, we're into the future of AI. I can't understand it. You know, we could just fix the rule a little bit, allow, you know, like you said, a foot here, whatever. Something doesn't impede the defender and doesn't have an effect on the goal. Should just let it go. Now, the other round here, mate, I got to give it to Max. Max was too calm. Max, mate, what is going on, mate?
Complete opposite. Yeah, he's a.
It didn't make sense.
From the management, got a red card, not him.
You know what? I was giving people high fives when he had the card come out, and then I found out you guys go, no, he didn't get the red card. Max,
Max
needs to put the max up.
I thought he got it too because he went to his face and it looked like he was covering his face because he was laughing or something.
He was whispering.
And I thought he got it, but it wasn't to him. Yeah,
no, it was to the other guy. Was it the one of the guys on the bench? But look, not good enough, Max. After that performance at the San Siro, you try to put your foot through the Emirates sign. Come on, Max. You know, Vince McMahon taking off the tie. Come on, mate. You got to crank it. You know, 96 minutes of a game. Come on, Max. But Max, not good enough, mate. We want to see Mad Max, yeah? So that to me, to Max, not good enough, mate.
I've got a feeling he's probably being told by management to tone it down because you would, like there's parts of it that you'd be like, mate, that, you know, like you'd be pretty stiff about that first VAR one, but anyway.
Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't like have, like during a game he does, but that kind of frustration should be, towards the end of that game, I would be behind him, yelling, screaming, get in there and just. But yeah, look. So this week the VAR's copped a caning from probably not only us but many other podcasts around the world with Juventus related. The last bit of this of our segment, we'll just give it an open mic. Anything you want to bring up, discuss, or any views? In the world of Serie A, I mean, it was a couple of crack games, the Milan-Napoli game this morning.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah,
good result for us.
I watched most of it. I think I missed the first. I caught it just after the first Milan goal. I think I started watching it in, like, the 25th minute.
Yeah.
Milan played really good in the first half. I think the second half, like, Napoli came back, but Milan were still going.
Milan had a couple
quite entertaining.
Great chances to go up 3-1, 3-2, but they didn't put it in the back of the net.
Yeah, absolutely. It was there for the taking for Milan, but similar to Moise Kean coming off, Rafael Leao and Giroud both got taken off when I don't think they should have.
Yeah.
Pioli has been criticised for that. And he was just trying to get fresh legs, but this is kind of what happens sometimes. Even with us, I feel with Moise Kean, he probably should have kept playing. Giroud was very angry, and Lee, like you saw that on TV.
Yeah,
I think Liao was quite angry as well. So, yeah, there's not going all too well for Milan. They had an absolute horror week, I think. Apart from, you know, not really getting as many goals, it could have been worse for them. I think we could have scored more goals against them. But starting with the loss against us and then losing to PSG 3-0 and then being 2-0 up against Napoli and letting that slip.
That was a loss for them.
Potentially losing that game. Yeah, it kind of was. Even though it was a Napoli home game, it kind of was a bit of a loss.
Yeah.
With the draw.
And they've had a good record against them at their ground too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Giroud loves that ground. Yeah. I think that's the ground he's scored the most goals on, actually, in Serie A, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's true.
He definitely loves that ground. Would be scary to think if he went and moved to Napoli instead. If he had done that, he's doing great.
That is. But he's still knocking him in the back of the net, mate. Pretty fair effort.
Yeah, he's doing very well.
For me, I just wanted to say our date with destiny in this half or before Christmas will be when we play Inter and in a couple of weeks and then probably Napoli as well. I feel those two games are going to really set the tone.
Yeah, they're big games. Absolutely.
If we're going to win it or we're going to just compete in the top four.
So, no, I totally agree.
They're the two, and the lower teams too. Like we've been saying, we need to get those results against the lower teams.
Well, look, this is a thing with soccer in general, not just in Italy. But if you have a look at Cagliari playing Frosinone, Cagliari did something this morning that no Serie A team has ever done in history. So, no Serie A team. After the 70-minute mark, if they have been down 3-0, no team has ever won from that position, okay? So there's been teams that have, you know, drawn after 70 minutes when they've been down, but no one has won after a 3-0 deficit. They managed to score four goals in 24 minutes. It was amazing. And, you know,
so it was four goals, was it? Oh, wow.
Four goals. So they scored their first goal in the 71st minute mark.
Yeah.
And they scored their fourth goal in the 95th minute. They scored two goals after the 90-minute mark in extra time. So, and they were good goals.
Yeah, you're like, right. They were technically good goals. Yeah, there was.
They were forced goals. They got a penalty out of that four, but they scored four in 24 minutes.
It's ridiculous.
All I'm trying to say is this is where we need to be careful. We play Cagliari after Fiorentina. Even though it's a home game for us, it was Cagliari's home game against Frosinone.
Yeah.
You know what? At the end of the day, you need to be careful. You need to...
Because the lower teams are always going to play against us.
You know?
They'll go up a step. But look, I just watched the highlights, especially with, you know, Matheus Soler playing that game.
Wow.
That's an awesome scoreline. For Fred to come back from that position from the 72nd minute, that's just unbelievable. But
History made.
Yeah,
the fans would have been happy. And you know what? A huge 3 points for Cagliari in that game.
Yeah.
They were last on the ladder coming into this game. They've now become second last, but to get 3 points when you're that low, when you've only got, I think they had 3 points before this game.
Yeah.
If I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
That is, you know, for a team like that in their position, that is huge. They went from 3 points to 6 points, and then on top of them, they've got Empoli and Udinese who have points. So when it comes to the relegation fight, I know it's early days, but, you know, a win like that could be the difference between them getting relegated at the end of the year. Yeah. So,
A quick mention, I saw the pictures on Instagram with Grosso, was he beaten up? He beaten up or something? I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, you know, bleeding all over his face and that. But mate, what's going on in the world today, mate? It's coming absolutely crazy at the moment. But look, we've come to that time again of our podcast where we depart this podcast. What are the platforms you can catch us on?
Platforms that you can catch us on. Before we get onto the platforms, I just wanted to double check something. It was actually the 72nd minute they scored the first goal.
Yeah.
Cagliari. And also they scored 94th minute and the 96th minute.
Yep.
Amazing.
You're allowed to... we'll forgive you, mate. It's all good, mate.
Yeah, no, no. Because, you know when you're looking at... Like, when you're watching the game, it was actually 71 minutes and something, and I counted it as that. Yeah. I actually watched the highlights.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's considered the 72nd minute. So, technically, in 24... But, yeah, still in 24 minutes, four goals. You can catch the Three Juventinos podcast. You can catch it at Podbean, iHeartRadio, Google, Apple.
Yep.
Was it Apple?
Yep.
Yeah. Anchor, Spotify.
Radio Public. And also the JFC Melbourne Gigi Buffon Facebook page, Three Juventinos Facebook page, Twitter, which is X, triple X, Instagram, and yeah. That's pretty much it, mate. You can catch us, and please share it around. Tell your friends, tell your paisanis that there's a bunch of Aussies down in Melbourne, Australia that talk Juve, more Juve, really.
That's it.
Yeah. Next week, Marco, the Fiorenti Van Basten will be back.
Yes, hopefully. And that's it.
Or Marco Devaio, we call him his nickname, but yeah, you'll be back from work commitments, and we'll be back next week. We're listening to Three Juventinos.